Well, I have a message that's been on my heart this week that I want to share with you all. And as we begin, I want to say hello to all of our hosts who are with us online and all of our Impactors online community. It's wonderful to have you join us every week and with all of us in the room. Now, this week, the message that I had on my heart that I wanted to share with you, I'm going to give you the point straight up. It's kind of like, did you ever study English when you were in school? And you could have read the book, or you could have read just like the summary note section at the very end if you were like cramming for a test. All right, so I'm just going to give you the point just from the beginning, and then we're going to dive into like this whole point. And what it is that prayer in our lives, persistent prayer, helps us to overcome temptation. Prayer helps us with the struggle in our life. I think we underestimate the power that prayer has for in our lives. So that's the point of today's whole message, is that persistent prayer helps us to overcome temptation and trial. Now, I want to read from the book of Mark, chapter 14, starting at verse 32. And this chapter, or this section, is all about Jesus going to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. So he's going to the Garden of Gethsemane and he takes some of his disciples. So let's read verse 32. Says, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake. And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to say to him. Now we'll leave it there, but actually Jesus goes back a third time to pray and then comes back to the disciples again, and they are asleep again after he's told them to stay awake. Now, I have always, when I've read this passage of scripture, I've always felt sorry for the disciples. And the reason I felt sorry for the disciples is, do you know how hard it is to stay awake when you're really, really tired? Do you know that feeling of, oh my gosh, like I just can't keep my eyes open, I'm so tired? And you start to do things like you might turn on the air conditioner to like full blast and freezing cold, or you might, you know, tap yourself a little bit to like try and keep yourself awake. Maybe you eat lollies, I do that sometimes, keep myself awake. And when you're tired, it's really hard to stay awake. And so I've always felt sorry for the disciples because they must have been really tired. They couldn't stay awake. Sometimes in my household, I don't know about yours, but there are TV shows or movies that my husband Ronan and I will watch together. But if it's a certain TV series, you can only watch it together. Like, you're not allowed to go an episode ahead. You have to watch together. And like, there's, you know, it's an unspoken rule. You can't watch ahead. But sometimes we sit down and one of us will be falling asleep. And I remember I just turned to him, I'm so sorry, I can't, I've got to go to bed. And it's horrible, that feeling. But then sometimes if Ronan's the one falling asleep, right, I'll turn across and he'll have fallen asleep and I'll be like, maybe I can just watch 10 more minutes. And he won't know because, like, and then the next day he's like, I don't remember any of that. I'm like, oh yeah, you did fall asleep, but you know, I might've gone a bit ahead. Yeah. But you know, when you're tired, it's so hard to stay awake. It's hard not to fall asleep. And that's what's happening here with the disciples. And so here is Jesus, who's gone off to pray. He's taken the disciples for some support, and he's chosen three disciples specifically to come even closer with him into the garden. And they can't stay awake, and he tells them to stay awake. But why does he want them to stay awake? Now let's look at verse 38. This is the verse that I really want to talk about today. It says, keep awake and pray, that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, if we read just a slightly different version, This version says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, if we just start at the end of that sentence, which says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak," how much does that phrase sum up our humanity? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Or, "I want to do that, but I just can't." Or, "I want to say the right things, but I just fall short." It just summarizes us so beautifully. You know, every Saturday morning, my husband and I go for a little activity that's called park run. And it's a 5 kilometer jog, walk, run. You choose how you want to do it. And we do it every Saturday. Now, Ronan is a lot faster than me. So he will finish before I finish. And often he will finish and then he will come back to me and then he will try and pace me to try and like get a bit faster. But I can never keep up even with the pacing. And I remember once we finished and Ronan said to me, "You look like you could go a lot faster." And that's probably because to him looking at me, I was probably like a really slow walk maybe. But in my head, I was like, you know, like because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is just so weak. I can't get there. But on a serious note, how much is the spirit willing, but the flesh is weak? I want to say the right thing, but I'm mean and I'm harsh because the flesh is weak. I don't want to gossip, but I'm around other people who are doing it. The spirit is willing not to do that, but the flesh is weak and I succumb and I just add my little extra bit. It just summarizes us so well. And it reminds me of St. Paul, who says, "I know the right thing to do, but I don't do it." And he says that in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. He says, "I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate." You know, have there been times in your life where you're sitting somewhere or you've just finished, like you've done, committed a sin, and you're like, "How did I get here? You know, this is not what I intended, but this is where I'm at." And that's what St. Paul is saying. I want to do the right thing, but I seem to do the thing that I hate. And that's why Jesus tells the disciples to pray, because he knows their spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He knows how easily we fall into temptation. Have you ever been tempted? You know, the easiest thing to think of when I think of temptation is food. Easiest thing for me to think of is tempted by food. But I'm not just talking about temptation by a chocolate bar. Let's talk about real temptation. Let's talk about temptation to cheat. Maybe temptation to steal, to say, take some money that's not yours, maybe to fix the books, the numbers, maybe to steal someone's idea at work that's not your idea. What about being tempted to lie, to be dishonest? You know, for me, a temptation that I have is to gossip because you hear things and it's hard not to relay it. But lately, I've been thinking of gossip in the same way as how Jesus talks about if you commit adultery. You know, he also talks about if you've even thought lustfully about a woman in a certain way, well, you've already committed the act. I've actually been thinking lately about sometimes with gossip, I may not be the gossiper, but if I'm surrounding myself with gossip, if I'm pursuing it, have I not still committed a sin? I'm in that area of temptation. You know, I made a decision a long time ago. When I go to the hairdresser, I never look at the magazines because magazines often have a lot of gossip. And I just made a decision years ago, I won't read a magazine. But how often do I scroll on my phone and I'm looking at things that are just the same and I haven't taken that away from my life? You know, there's still this temptation that's in our lives, and God knows we so easily fall into temptation. We give into it. So if we go back to verse 38 again, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." All of us, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. So when Jesus says to the disciples, "Keep awake and pray, watch and pray," he's saying, be alert, because temptation will come, trials will come, and you need to be ready for the trials. And when we pray, then we're on our guard, ready for when it comes, because Jesus knows that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, if we just think about the disciple Peter, who's one of those three that Jesus has brought into the garden a bit closer to him. Just before this scene in the garden, just like the few verses before, if you go to your Bible, the few verses before, Jesus has actually said to all the disciples, "Tonight, you are going to desert me. You're going to deny me." And Peter, out of all the disciples, he stands up and he says, "Not I, God. If all of these people desert you, I will not." I imagine it was quite dramatic. That's how I imagine it. "I will not desert you, even if all of these people desert you." And then they go to the garden, Jesus prays, then he's arrested, and that night Peter denies him three times. The trial came and he failed. And Jesus was telling him to pray because he knew that his spirit was willing. Peter's spirit was willing. "I will not deny you." He was willing to be there for Jesus, but his flesh was weak when the trial came. He didn't pray. He wasn't alert. He wasn't ready for when the trial came. And Jesus says, God says the same thing to us, that we need to pray. We need to be ready for when temptation comes, because it will. And it's not just about praying at the time of temptation. This is about everyday prayer, all the time praying, because when we do that, we guard ourselves and we're ready for when it comes. It's not just when it happens, it's beforehand. We need to be alert and ready for the temptation. Now, Satan wants to knock us off course. He doesn't want us to do well. He doesn't want us to be all that God has made us to be. And so temptation will come, and that's what Satan wants for us, to knock us off course. But when we pray, we ready ourselves for the trial that is to come. It strengthens us. Prayer renews us, it restores us, and it strengthens us. Now, prayer renews our relationship with God every time we pray. We sit down, we remind ourselves that this is the creator of the universe. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and this is me praying to the Creator. You know, prayer does that. It reconnects us. Prayer helps us to know God more. Prayer helps us to remember God's love, his goodness, his saving grace. Prayer restores and strengthens us, and it keeps us aligned with God. It keeps us aligned with his will, and it keeps us aligned with his kingdom ways, the way he wants us to live. To love our neighbour, but also to love our enemy. And when we pray, we are reminded of that because God's love comes to us, and then that love in us wants us to live in his kingdom, to walk in his ways. It reminds us when we pray to turn the other cheek, to treat others as you want to be treated. But when we don't pray, we don't continue to align ourselves with God's kingdom and his ways. God is our anchor. And when we pray, we remember that. We are coming back to God. When we pray, it helps us to see the hand of God in our lives. When we're praying for different things, then we can go, "Actually, God, you've done that in this area. Now I give you this area of my life." So prayer reconnects us to God. You know, I've been doing some study, as many of you would know, lately. And what I've had to do recently is read the New Testament of the Bible, but at the same time, read what's a study Bible. And every time you read the New Testament in this study Bible, there will be different words that are highlighted. And when you click on that highlighted word, it will take you to another section that then gives you all the definition of that word, the context of what it meant at the time when Jesus was around, the Jewish context of the words. You get a lot more extra depth as you're reading. And really, that's where this message came from when I was studying in the last few weeks, because I read this passage and I actually highlighted it. And I always, if I want to remember something, I email something to myself, and I've just got it as an email reminder. So I emailed this to me. And for this scripture, this verse that we've been reading, where it says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The words that you could click on were the words "into temptation." So that's what I clicked on. And in this study Bible, I'll put it up here on the screen, what it says for when you talk about into temptation, it gives you more about how we overcome it. And it says, "The graces we need to overcome our weaknesses must be sought through persistent prayer." The graces we need to overcome our weaknesses must be sought through persistent prayer. The weakness, which is our flesh, the only way we overcome it is we get grace from God through persistent prayer. So when we're praying, God gives us grace. That's when the Holy Spirit comes to empower us to overcome our weakness, to empower us to overcome our flesh. Now, that doesn't mean the struggle goes away. That doesn't mean maybe the temptation goes away, but we are given the power through the Holy Spirit to overcome it. And so when Jesus says to his disciples, "I want you to pray," it's because he knows they need grace. He knows they need strength for when the trials come. When we pray, the Holy Spirit equips us. The Holy Spirit gives us perseverance, endurance to overcome those weaknesses in our lives. So that's why we need to pray before the temptation occurs. In the book of Corinthians, St. Paul says this, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Now, when I was 19, this is one of the first scriptures when I was in a small group that we studied to learn that God will give you the way out when you are tempted. God will be with you in the trial. And when we pray the way out, God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives us those graces to overcome the flesh, to overcome the weakness, to overcome the sin. But we only get that when we pray. Prayer helps us through the battle. You know, many of you might have read Ephesians, where St. Paul talks about the armor of God, how we should put on the armor of God. And it's the reason is to be strong in the Lord and to fend off attacks from the devil, to fend off attacks from Satan. And the different armor that you put on is the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shoes of peace, and the shield of faith, which is God's word. Now, at the end of this, in Ephesians 6:18, he then talks about prayer. And this is what St. Paul says. He says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." So even though you may have put on the armor of God, you are wearing the belt of truth, you are wearing the breastplate of righteousness, you've put it all on, you still need to pray. Because prayer is what gives you the power to overcome your weakness. We still need prayer. In this verse, it says, stay alert. Again, similar to the garden in Gethsemane. Be alert, be ready for when the trials come. And then it finishes by saying, be persistent in your prayers for all believers. So it's not just about praying about ourselves. It's a praying for others in our lives, for all of their needs, that they would not come into the time of temptation as well. So now today, if you are feeling defeated, if you're feeling, you know, I just keep succumbing to temptation, well then I encourage you to ask yourself, how's my prayer? Am I praying? Am I being persistent? Am I coming to prayer every day? Am I coming, as Dad Bruce would say, he would say, constant conversation. You can pray with God all the time, every day, throughout your day, in every situation that you are. How is your prayer? Because prayer will ready you for the trial that is to come. Now, what I want to do today, as we're finishing, I want to pray for us. And I want to pray for this, that God would help us to overcome our temptations. But then I also want to pray for our needs. We have so many needs in our community. We have needs for our community, all our hosts out there. I know we all have needs. And I want to pray for all of us today. So what I want to do as I lead us in prayer today is I'm just going to put out like a broad topic. And what I want you to do when I say the broad topic, like I might say your health, I want you to think about maybe your own health. Or if you have someone in your life, you're like, no, I have someone right now who I know, God, in this area of their life, we just need you. We need a miracle. We need change. Lord, would you come? Then what I want you to do is I want you to think of that person. So as we pray today, you can think of your own needs. But let's pray, as St. Paul says, for all other believers as well. Let's pray for their needs and what they need. So if you've got anything in your hand, you can put it down. You can close your eyes, wherever you are. And let's just today, as we're praying for this, as God says for us to pray, let's come together as a community and let's pray for all our needs. Lord, I thank you for the time that we have together today. Lord, I thank you for this word that you gave us all those years ago, that we should be alert, that we should pray and be ready for when temptation comes, for when the trial comes in our lives. Lord, I thank you that you know us so well, that you know that our spirits are so willing. We want to do the right thing, Lord God, but our flesh is weak. We fall short. And we know, Lord, that's why you came. That's why you sent your son, Jesus. So Lord, right now today, I pray that you would strengthen us in our faith, that you would strengthen us in living in your ways, in loving our neighbor, in loving our enemies, in turning the other cheek when we need to. Lord, would you bolster our faith? Would you build it up? Would you give us a stronger relationship with you today, so that when the temptation comes in life, Lord God, that you would have grounded us in you, so that we would make the right choice. I pray that you would grace us with your Holy Spirit in those times that we need you, to overcome that temptation, to overcome the weakness that we have in our life, Lord God. Would you send your grace upon us? I thank you, Lord, for your victory, for your victory over death, so that we can overcome our weakness. We know, Lord, that you already have the victory. And I thank you for that, and I pray that we would live that out in our lives with the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Lord, we have need in our community. Need here in the room, need for our Impactors community, all our hosts, Lord God. So right now, Lord, we just want to pray for those needs, and we put them before you. We pray for your will. We pray for your miracles. We pray for your strength and peace in these areas, Lord God. Lord, for those of us right now who have a health battle, maybe it's a disease, maybe it's cancer, maybe it's just healthy habits that we need, Lord God, would you come into this area of our lives right now, into the area of health? Would you come and be victorious? Would you come and give us strength? Would you help us through this situation that we're in, Lord God? We thank you already for your provision and for your peace. Lord, I want to pray for finances. Lord, you know the situations that some of us may be in. I pray for your financial provision, Lord God. I pray for your generosity, Lord Jesus. I pray for guidance in this area to make the right decisions. I pray for those of us who have businesses, Lord God, that we would make the right decisions for our business, for our staff, that you would guide us in this area and you would lead us, Lord God. Lord, I pray for the area of decision-making in our lives. We all have decisions to make, Lord, and we want to make the right ones. Lord, would you grant us wisdom? Would you guide our steps? Would you show us the direction you want us to go and what to do next, Lord God? Lord, help us to trust our plans to you, because we know when we do that you will guide our steps. thank you in advance for the guidance that you're going to show us, Lord. Lord, I pray for our relationships. For some of us, maybe we're thinking about our marriage, friendships, the relationship we have with our children, our parents. Lord, some of us need a breakthrough in this area. Would you come and change hearts? Would you soften hearts, Lord? Would you bring peace into our relationships? Would you bring your love? Please bring your forgiveness, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Lord, we pray for those in our lives who don't know you, who we want them to know you. We want you to be in their lives, Lord. We pray for them right now that you would open their hearts, that you would open their hearts to hear your voice. We pray for your grace to fall upon them. We thank you for the love that you shower upon them, Lord God. We pray that those that we love in our lives, that they would come to love you, Lord. Now, I want to pray right now, maybe some of us here or some of us watching, maybe you haven't given your life to God before. And so I want to pray this prayer right now. And what I want you to do is I want you to, in your own hearts and in your own minds, to repeat the sentence that I say. Just repeat it in your mind, in your heart. And if you have given your life to God before, well, you can pray again. We can always recommit. So just in your own mind, repeat these sentences in your own hearts as I say them. Lord Jesus, I want to belong to you from now on. I want to give my whole self to you. I ask you to come and be at the center of my life. With all my heart, I ask your forgiveness for all the sins and failings in my life. I need the strength of your love and grace. I want to carry you in my heart everywhere I go, just as you hold me precious in your heart. Lord, I give my life to you. Lord, I thank you for the blessing upon all of us that we can give our lives to you because of what you have done for us. You loved us first and you sent us your son, Jesus. Lord, I pray for everyone who has prayed that prayer today that they would come closer to you and that they would know the power of your love in their lives. Lord, I hold up all these needs that we have in our minds. All those that I didn't mention today, Lord God, you know them. I pray for your victory. I pray for your love, your strength, and your peace in all of these situations. And ultimately, Lord, we pray for your will. I thank you for your love and your saving grace. We ask all of this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.